we said, you know, I appreciate our band because obviously we can't create worship. We only create an atmosphere of worship. If you come in here and you don't have worship in your heart and in your being, we can't create that. We just create the environment. So hopefully you worship throughout the week and the things that you see create that worship. And then as you go on throughout the week, it sustains you to go forth. But we can't create it. However, there's sometimes when it's easier to be in the band and other times it's not. Paul was drawn away this week due to death in the family. And so we didn't have rehearsal, plus it was Labor Day and those kind of things. So it was a little more difficult. So the band shows up and to put it all together and to go through it, which they do well. And then we lose the back screen, which for some of you who don't understand that, that's pretty important to us to have that back screen so we see things that are coming on as well as you do. And so you may have noticed we look around at times and just to wonder. But I appreciate just dealing with the diversity and the adversity that often comes up. But it's really not about that. It's really just about being in God's house with God's people. Now, if you weren't here in the first service, and you don't already, because I haven't already told you this, what is today? Besides being Sunday, what is today? It is Grandparents' Day. And Grandparents' Day was started in 1978 by Marion McQuaid as just to really wanted to identify the influence of grandparents and to identify what they really were worth. And so in 1978, she started the process. Jimmy Carter signed it off and made it a day that we recognize grandparents. And let me tell you, it's important. It's important to do so. It's easy to see and to read. If you go online and start reading about grandparents, there's all kinds of funnies that come up. Let me just read some of the ones, and most of these authors are unknown. I don't know where they came from, but it just talks about grandparents. Grandmas are moms with lots more frosting. This is really true. If you're a grandfather, you probably know this to be true. Grandfathers, and I get told this, are just antique little boys. And that's the truth. If you're a granddad and you have your grandkids, grandparenting for dads is, you know, I get told I'm the antique. There's no doubt about that, the dinosaur. But isn't it easy? I mean, for some reason, it's easy for grandpas. If you're a grandpa here, you know how easy it is just become that little kid again. It doesn't matter. You can be made a fool. It doesn't matter. You just don't care. I mean, it's just that way. You can be a kid. We were in Disneyland, and Emery, and she wanted to have her face painted, and Addie, of course, she didn't want to do that, and she didn't want to be with Poppy anyway. But we were in face paint. She goes, I want to have my face painted. So I said, that'd be so cool. So I got my face painted. Well, it was really cool when Emery and I were together. It wasn't so cool when we weren't. Everybody looked at me kind of weird. But, you know, I was the big tiger, and she was little tiger. We just had, anyway, forget it. But grandfathers are just antique little boys. Never have children, only grandchildren. And some would say amen to that, hardly amen. Here's one, when grandparents enter the door. Mike Strong, why are you raising your hands? Your kids are in the service. You know, there you go. Okay. When grandparents enter the door, discipline flies out the window. Grandmas never run out of hugs or cookies. If I had known how wonderful it would be to have grandchildren, I'd have had them first. I like this one. My grandkids believe, this is true, that I am the oldest thing in the world. In fact, Emery, it's on my little board in there. She asked, how old are you? You know, they asked, how old is your grandpa? And she put 99. So my grandkids believe that I'm the oldest thing in the world. And after 2 or 3 hours with them, I believe it too. All right? An hour with your grandchildren can make you feel young again. Any longer than that, and you start to age quickly. Grandparents are similar to a piece of string, handy to have around and easily wrapped around the fingers of their grandchildren. No cowboy was ever faster on the draw than a grandparent pulling a baby picture out of his wallet. And that's true. If you don't think grandparenting is important, obviously you haven't been listening. You haven't been reading. The role of grandparenting has changed. The role of the whole process of grandparenting and kids and homes and lives. The lowest statistic I found was that 6 million grandkids live in grandparents' homes. The lowest statistic. Of that, 6 million, 3 million are without other family members. In other words, 6 million could be son, daughter, and their grandkids and the da-da-da-da. But of that 3 million, the grandparent, over 3 million, are raising the grandkids as a parent would. They have nobody else. The grandparents are raising their grandkids, 3 million. And the role of that has changed within that. Now, let me just tell you, we have some fantastic grandparents in our church. We really do. I marvel at some of the grandparents that we have. The fantastic. And we have them that fulfill, even in this church, have to fulfill every role. From the grandparent, the loving grandparent, the grandparent who has grandkids far away, the grandparent who has kids living with them, the grandparents who have whole houses living with them, we have them all. And yet we have some fantastic, fantastic grandparents. And today is the first ever that I've taken the Grandparents' Day, you may mention it, but the first time that we've ever said, I want to stop and talk about grandparenting. And talk about parenting within that role, because it's changed so drastically. And I think there's today some things that we need to acknowledge about your influence and the great responsibility and opportunity that we have. It is Grandparents' Day. I want to look at a couple of verses. Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8. It says, O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter hidden things from old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide from them, their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and his wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. Talking about from generation to generation and the responsibility, the opportunity that one is given as a grandparent. Psalm 71, if you go over just a few more psalms, Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. He talks about, since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. The issue of us being an influence in a generation, the issue of us as parenting and grandparents especially, to influence the generation that we have. If you're a grandparent today, I want you just to stand up, wherever you're at. If you're a grandparent today, just stand up. Come on, stand up. I know your lumbago may be sacroiliac down to the leg, knee bone, whatever. All right, sit back down, thank you. That's about as much acknowledgement as you're going to get today, so that, you know, live with it. Children will now take you to buy you, I was going to say they're going to take you and buy you lunch, but we as grandparents know that never happens. It never happens. It doesn't. Amen, Chuck? Amen, Chuck? Amen, come on. Yeah, amen, there you go. But listen, those of us who just stood, we have the opportunity to lavish God's greatness on our grandchildren. We have the opportunity to teach and to not just kind of like by design, you know, hell yeah, God's good. No, we have the opportunity to lavish, to pour onto them the greatness of our God to our grandchildren. To see and to let them know the truths of that. To let them see that there's some things that God really has. And I know that sounds ominous, but I want to give you some things I think that we as grandparents need to understand and some truths we understand. And I realize we got a front row of students here and students back there and students all over the place. We have great students. We have great kids. It's sad my granddaughter, even my four-year-old, knows more about my phone than I do. They can find things on they can do things. It's crazy. And you would think with all of that goes on, with all of the technology and everything that they know, that all of a sudden we're a little bit behind. Like I said, my kids think I'm a dinosaur. I'm extinct, you know, older than dirt as far as their perception is. But what's great about that, listen, we do not need to feel the pressure of having some kind of new spiritual reality. You do not have to have this idea that we have to have this newfangled God. In fact, just the opposite is true. We are the ties to the generations that are to come that need to see some of that old-time religion. Remember that old song? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Well, you know what? Sometimes we need to not put ourselves on the shelf. We need to realize that they don't need a new spiritual reality. They need to see that God is the same God today as he was then. They need to see the roots of that. They need to see that, listen, the God that I served as a child, or when you came to know Christ, whatever it may be, the God that changed your life is still the same God today. And so you need to take the shame off. Oh, I can't, you know, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot to say, and they don't understand, and they won't sit and listen because they want to play games and all the things. You have the opportunity to give them, and they don't need a new spirituality. You need to just sit and say, listen, you need to hear about God. I think as we get older, we have that opportunity, and they look at us. In some sense, they start to say, okay, well, yeah, there's a little nostalgia there, and yeah, they're old, but we have the opportunity to share with them that God is the God of the universe and the ages. And he will be the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be the same tomorrow. That gives them a sense of foundation. Not only that, I think we can give them now a sense of the blessing of spiritual sensitivity. Man, being sensitive of spiritual things. I know sometimes we talk about wishing that, I said at times, I wish I would have parented the way I grandparent. And at times, not in all cases, but there's sometimes I wish I'd slow down. I was reading a story as I studied for today, and it was a great story. It was too long to tell, but the emphasis was, it was a grandchild writing to her grandfather and thanking him because he walked a little slower, and he stumbled a little easier, and he wasn't afraid to use a cane, nor was he afraid to ask for help from this grandson to hold his arm. And as he'd walk a little slower, he would be quick to notice the flower, the beauty, the creation of it, and the colors of it. To notice the butterfly, to notice the things, the trees, to point out the objects. To be sensitive not only to the things around us, spiritually sensitive. And our kids need to see that, our grandkids need to see that, that we have the ability to slow down a little bit. Man, I know as parents, we just go, 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 go. And you're not trying to, you're trying to keep them from picking the flower. You're grabbing their arms, get in the car, buckle in, you know, we got that car travel carrier system from, you know, I don't know where, you know. It's like this big, and you got to get strapped in that sucker. We are always moving so fast. And yet sometimes grandparents, we have the opportunity to go on that treasure hunt, to stop and look, as well as give them a spiritual sensitivity to the greatness of God, to be spiritually sensitive to the needs of others, to point out those needs, to see those needs. Which leads us to the truth that what we have is that we can share with our grandchildren the message made in our lives because we've had more life to make it in. The message made in our lives, that really is the old word, your testimony. What is your life message? What is your testimony to your grandkids? Do they know how you came to know Christ? Do they know what you, as they are, if they're old enough to understand, do they know what your heritage was in the issue of how you came to know Christ, whether it was as a child or maybe you came to know Christ later in life? Do they see that? What is your story? Have you told your grandkids your story of how you came to know Christ? I mean, I almost did it in the first service, and I didn't. I'm not going to do it here now, because not only do we have grandparents in this service, we have grandkids in the service. And I almost asked, how many grandkids would stand and say, I don't really know how my grandparents came to know Christ. I know they know Christ, but I don't know the story of their life. I wonder how many would stand. And you know what? We need to tell them that. That's the testimony of our life through time and perspective, to see the story of our life, which gives us the blessing of perspective. To give us the blessing of perspective, to be able to look back. That when we're right in the midst of it as parenting, we can't often stop. But for grandparenting, we have a time to step back a little bit and still have that influence. Chuck Swindoll calls it a clear view from Mount Perspective. Man, I'll tell you what. There were things that I thought were so important that just had to be done. Or we had to have. Had to spend my life getting it. But then you look back and you say, really wasn't worth it. Really wasn't necessary. What did I sacrifice to get that? And sometimes we as grandparents can stand back and say, you know what? Some things that we think just matter really don't matter. Some things that our kids get way uptight about just doesn't matter. The challenge comes at times when we as grandparents may see some of the things our kids are spinning their wheels on, and we just have to keep our mouth shut, huh? Just say, you know, they're going to figure it out, but man, some things just don't. Slow down. The perspective is this is only for a little time. Don't create such conflict for such a little time that you lose it for the perspective of life. the issue of the clear view from Mount perspective. And within that, we have the ability to teach our grandchildren of deep roots of spiritual history. Deep roots of spiritual history. Not just theological history of the church or of the Bible, of the Word. That's true, that's good. But when we can tell our grandchildren of the God of the past, present, and future, it gives them a firm foundation that says this God has been around. If this God can handle those things in my grandparents' life, this God can handle my things. We need to teach them this deep spiritual, the deep roots, to go down deep, to absorb the Word, to be watered by the Word, to be refreshed by the Word, those deep roots of spiritual history. Now, I know some of you, you know, I often get this. And I want to close this morning, the next few minutes. I want to give you some application from my own life. And some of you always get uncomfortable, but my grandkids aren't here, so don't worry. I didn't parade them up on stage and make this the Barnett grandkid hour at all. Wouldn't do that. Though I could have, and you could have got all sideways, and I wouldn't have cared, to tell you the truth. Because the lessons are still the lessons. I've shared with some of you that one of these days I'm going to write a book. The chapters are outlined. I'll never get around to writing it. It's not for you. It's really not even for me. It's for my grandkids. It's part of that building that history of deep spiritual roots, both in reality and in spirituality, both in the things they say and the analogies of the Word. I want to give you just a few, and it won't be long. Those of you who say, well, that's not the Bible, start writing your laundry note or something, I don't know. But the book is titled The Blessing of Stained Sleeves. People say, what is that about? Well, when Emery was born, some of you know the dynamics of my family. Emery is my girl. Addie is Grammy's. Addie really wants nothing to do with me unless I bribe her with food. Last month, she did come up to me and say, Poppy, okay, I think I love you now. Great, thank you. You're 4 years old. I finally made it. But Emery, when she was born, she was Poppy's girl. Everywhere Poppy was. And when we would go to eat, some of you know, in your own life, man, Emery, to this day, has to sit by Poppy. I want to be by Poppy. Now she's actually using usually a fork or a spoon or something. She's old enough, she eats, and it's not going everywhere. But when she was younger, kids eat with their hands. And left or right, my sleeves became their napkin. Ah, the blessing of stained sleeves. Because the parents were going crazy. Don't get on Poppy's shirt. Don't get on Poppy's shirt. I could have cared less. I mean, kids are going to get stuff. And I want to give you some of the things that the comments that she's made over, and she and Addie together made, and I want to give you a spiritual analogy of it because I think it's important on Grandparents' Day, and so if you'll just give me a little latitude, I will appreciate it. One of the earliest things that Emery would say when she could start talking is she would say, Poppy, I want a belly just like yours. I want a belly just like yours. She saw no disdain in me being fat. She drew no barrier because I was overweight. She gave me innocent acceptance. She saw the positive out of that which I hate, that which I fight every day. She saw the positive. She called it Poppy's ledge. I like to sit on Poppy's ledge. She could rest, especially as a child, smaller, right on Poppy's ledge. I made the mistake of telling her she'll never be too big to sit on Poppy's ledge. She's now 7, you know. But she will still crawl up. That innocent acceptance. She took that which what I despise. Could we take the pill and lose the weight? Oh, yeah. But she didn't see that at all. She saw the positive out of that. She never judged me by the way I looked. I think you see the analogy here. Because some of us need to learn the same thing. We don't need to judge people by the way they look. It needs to be neither Jew nor slave, Roman, free, Greek, fat, thin, white, black, yellow, colored, whatever it may be, with money, without money. We need to look at people and say, guess what? I want you to be just like Jesus. And I want to see you the way Jesus does. I want to value the way Jesus does. And in essence, I want to be like Poppy's belly. And Emery would lift up as a little girl. She'd lift up her shirt and she'd push her belly out there. I want to be just like you, Poppy. And I hope someday she sees that Poppy wants to be just like Jesus. And that one day she'll say, I want to be just like Poppy. I want to have that faith. I want Poppy's belly. Some of you will recall a few years ago, we had our family day, our picnic day. We had the slides going, the water, and all the things going on. Emery was smaller then. It was a number of years ago. And we had the water. Going up the slide was really easy. You climbed up there, the water. But when you got up to the top, it looked higher. And coming down in the pool, she's always been a bit of a daredevil, still is. But that day, for some reason, she got up to the top and she panicked. She just froze. And the kids were trying to get her to come down. Come down. You can go down with me. You can come down. But there was a pool at the bottom. She said, she was a little scared of that. And I realized it wasn't an option for me to climb on that thing. It was held up by a little blower with air to go get her. And so I went to the edge where she was lying right along the edge. And I said, Emery, do you trust me? Emery, do you trust me? She goes, yes, Poppy, but... And I would love to say, Emery, just trust me. I will catch you. I will not let it hurt you. I will definitely catch you. I wish I could tell you she did that. It just came right down the slide. She did not. I stood there. Emery, Poppy will not let you fall. I will catch you. I will not let anything hurt you. Trust me. I trust you, Poppy, but... And we went on and on like that and just talked to her and just talked to her. And then all of a sudden, without saying, okay, Poppy, here I come, I look away. I think I was talking to Paul Miniacci saying, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden, she just lets go. And I turn around just to see her coming out of the slide, and I reach my arm out and I grab her up. How many of us say, God, I trust you. Oh, I really trust you, God. But. God, I'd love to serve. I trust you, God. I'd love to serve. But you really, Paul mentioned media. You know, that's going to take a Monday night and a Sunday, and Monday night baseball, football just started, and I don't want to give up Monday night. I'd really love to serve you, God, but. God, I really love to trust you, but. God, I'd love to trust you in my finances, but. God, I'd love to trust you in the things of my family, but. And you know what? We're just like that sometimes. God says, do you trust me? If you really trust me, how about trust with some action? Quit talking about it. Let go. Slide. God, I'd love to trust you to step out and dream that you have a place and a point in my life, a purpose in my life. Can you step out and go? Yes, God, but. Quickly, one of them that Emery learned and Addie now knows is just one more minute, Poppy. Just one more minute. Now, for some of you, that's bad because they're trying to manipulate you into, can I have just another minute watching cartoons or what before I go to bed? But we started that when we happened to be with them. If they were going for a short nap, a short sleep or a long sleep. Short sleep is nap, long sleep is good night. Is it short sleep or long sleep? But if I was around, I would ask Josh and Erica, can I just have one more minute? And Emery, now Addie, will climb up on the ledge. And I get one more minute. I get one more minute to tell them how special they are. I get one more minute to tell them that Jesus loves them, that Poppy loves them. I get one more minute. I know there are people in my life that I wish I had one more minute to tell them that. I wish I had told it to them much more than I did. Just one more minute. I wish I had that same view of God. God, give me one more minute to talk with you. Give me one more minute to know how much you love. Just one more minute, God. I'll close with this one. Emery, from early on, was my girl. And she started this from early on that some of you know that she would just, wherever we were, she would just walk up And if anything was going on, once she could start walking, if she crawled, she crawled to me, but she learned early just to go like this. I will never forget those looks. Just like this. Before she could even really speak, she would just crawl or walk. Just go like this. As she started talking, it came out, "Hold you me, Poppy. Hold you me, Poppy." I could count on it like clockwork. If she was ever fearful, if she was ever afraid, or if we were just together, she would walk up, look up, raise her arms, "Hold you me, Poppy." It was so much like clockwork. I was speaking at a hospice event actually put on by P.L. Fry, and it was at the year end, and it was really a grief time, but a time of celebration, those who have passed away. I didn't know how she'd do, but I was going to try to gamble with this. And so as I was speaking about grief, it's short, I asked one of the attendants to just open the door and let her in, the front. And all these people, and it was packed, and she looked around and didn't say a word. I could tell she was a little unsure. She was tiny, walking, barely walking. She walked and looked at all the people, and she never took her, but pretty soon she looked at me. I was in the middle. She looked at me. I didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. She saw me, forgot the crowd, walked right to me, put her arms up, and said, "Hold you me, Poppy." The analogy then and the analogy there is that there was never a time, even when I hurt my leg and I couldn't even stand, that if she came up to me and put her arms up, there was nothing that was going to keep me from picking her up and loving her. Nothing. Nothing. And I realize I have a God. And no matter how many times I come with my arms up, I failed again, God. Or God, I have this deep burden in my heart. God never turns away. God looks. God never gets weary of me coming to Him. For nothing can separate me from the love of God. And some of you here today, as it was in the first service, some of you need to come and you're saying, "Bill, I just can't do that anymore. I have failed. I'm an addict. I'm a drunk. I'm a user. I'm this. I'm that. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. I'm a hypocrite." Yes, we're all of those things. And if you come and raise your arm and say, "Here I am," He says, "Come home, child." He's never going to turn away. He's never going to stop. He's going to reach down. He's going to pick you up. He's going to love you as you are. He's going to see all the things that maybe you hate. And He says, "I love you for who you are." And we need to come and never get weary, because He never gets weary. He sees us as His children. He sees us as His grandchildren, just as I would never not pick her up, never smack her away and say, "You know what, you've been bad. Get out of my sight. You haven't gone to bed well. Get out of my sight." No, every time those arms would go up, I would take her up, I would affirm her, I would love her. And that's what God does to us every stinking time. And aren't we thankful that it's His faithfulness? Aren't we thankful that we have a God with a deep spiritual history, that even as the children of Israel would go all the way, they come back and they raise their arms and worship Him and always say, "You're my people." And we come to that today, folks. And whether you're here and you carried the mantle of shame for failures in your life, guess what? When you raise your arms up, that shame is gone, because He sees you as His child. And He says, "Hold you me, God." And God does. God does. If you're a grandparent today, my hats are off to you. We have a great influence. We have the opportunity to lavish God's goodness and greatness upon our grandchildren. But if you're here today as an individual, and there may be things in your life, you say, "Man, I just am so far away." He still says, "You come to me, man, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the promise. Let's pray. God, I'm thankful today for the blessing of stained sleeves. I realize there's another stain, and that stain is the stain that on many parents' and grandparents' cheeks, especially grandparents who are praying for grandkids that are not walking with you. That stain of the tears, God, you know every tear. Help them to never, ever stop praying for them. May we envelop our grandchildren with our prayers. May we pray for them that they would know you, that they would love you, and that they would serve you. And God, for those who come need to come today with our arms lifted high, God, may we come and realize that nothing separates us from your love. And God, may we leave here being a people that just like Emory wants to be like Poppy's belly, may we walk out of here and never draw a line, never rate people and judge people based upon those things that are worthless, God. But may we see people and value them the way you do and love them accordingly. May we never think of ourselves more highly than we ought. But that we'll be humble. May we be the visible representation of Jesus to this world. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.